And as we know, the National Immunisation Advisory Committee will meet this morning to finalise its response to yesterday's European Medicines Agency finding that there's no overall increase in the risk of blood clots with the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine. The EMA's Safety Committee said the vaccination's proven efficacy in preventing hospitalisation and death from COVID outweighed the extremely small likelihood of developing these rare clots. Here's Executive Director Eimear Cook.
The committee has come to a clear scientific conclusion. This is a safe and effective vaccine. Its benefits in protecting people from COVID-19 with the associated risks of death and hospitalisation outweigh the possible risks. The committee also concluded that the vaccine is not associated with an increase in the overall risk of thromboembolic events or blood clots.
Now, here to explain some more about this vaccination, Professor Joe Harbison, consultant stroke physician and clinical lead on the Irish National Audit of Stroke. Professor Harbison, you're welcome to Morning Ireland.
Thank you very much, Mary.
Now, safe and effective, Eimear Cook said there, but in light of the controversy we've had and the attention that's focused on the AstraZeneca vaccine and any links to blood clots, what would your advice be to people now who, despite the assurances they've received, may still be nervous about receiving AstraZeneca?
Oh, I mean, the vaccine is safe. It's pretty clearly safe. And now, if you think about it, the EMA report said that the vaccine's been given, over 20 million doses of vaccine have been given, and they found 18 cases of this. So it's one in a million chance, or less than a one in a million chance of developing a problem. Now, the reason why they're concerned is this particular type of clot is a reasonably uncommon clot, and that is occurring in the brain, and it can occasionally result in stroke. It doesn't always result in stroke. I think the most famous person to get one of these was Hillary Clinton back in 2012, and she recovered very well from it. But it can be associated with stroke in younger people. But I have to emphasize, the risk of stroke from catching COVID is substantially higher than the risk of developing any problem with the vaccine.
And people might be unaware of that connection between COVID. Let's park the vaccine for a moment and talk about this, that this connection between COVID and the presentation of stroke. What are you seeing?
Well, about 1% to 2% of people who are hospitalised with COVID, we're now discovering are suffering stroke. And we're also seeing more what we call large vessel strokes, or very major strokes, occurring in young people with COVID. It's one of these hidden complications of stroke or of COVID that really hasn't been much publicised. So if you wonder, well, we were doing the recent NOCA report looking at the experience of stroke services during the pandemic. It hasn't been quite published yet, but we found that there were about 30 cases of stroke in Ireland during the first wave associated with COVID. So if you think that's in Ireland in the first wave, there were more cases of stroke associated with COVID than there have been in the entire reported planet associated with the vaccine.
So a risk of stroke from COVID much greater than any risk there might be from taking a vaccine like AstraZeneca.
That's certainly what it appears.
Are there other medications that we take, many of us in the course of our lives, or vaccines indeed that we take, that carry with them maybe a risk of clots?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few ones. The commonest one that people would be most familiar with would be things like the oral contraceptive pill is associated with clots, and to a certain extent, things like HRT. And in all these circumstances, in all drugs, you always weigh the benefit versus the risk, and you're also aware of the risk. I would argue that the risk of developing cerebral sinus thrombosis is probably higher, with something like the OCP than it would be with the vaccine. But remember, you can also increase your risk of developing OCP or developing cerebral sinus thrombosis from, for instance, being a smoker. That will increase your clots, your risk of clotting as well, far more than taking AstraZeneca vaccine would.
The thing is, though, if somebody receives the AstraZeneca vaccine, and we are hearing reports of people suffering, maybe in some cases even severe side effects from the AstraZeneca vaccine, how do I know what is an acceptable severe side effect and what might be a danger zone where I require attention?
Well, what the EMA report yesterday came out with, it described particular features. So what they said in terms of these cerebral sinus thrombosis is that somebody gets a very severe and particularly a progressive headache over a number of days. That is a warning signal you should contact your doctor. And if you pick up these symptoms, a mild headache isn't uncommon with a vaccine. And to a certain extent, people who get a mild response to the vaccine should be encouraged, because it suggests they're getting an immune response that suggests their immune system is picking up the vaccine and responding to it. But what they pick up is a particularly a headache that's getting worse for 2 or 3 days, particularly worse in the mornings. It would be something that they would flag and you should go see a doctor about. But the big thing about this is that they've identified the problem. They've identified the issue. It's not even a problem. They've identified the issue. They've identified the scale of it. They've now characterized it. And I think in those circumstances, people are very encouraged that they can go back and start administering the vaccine again.
Is there a cohort, though, where you would advise against this vaccine? People, for example, who might have a family history of stroke, or people as well who ask, is there any way I can prepare?
Well, I think the NIAC will give advice on that about who they think. It's probably sensible that, for instance, somebody who's previously had a cerebral sinus thrombosis, they do happen. I mean, I will have seen 2 or 3 of them this year spontaneously. I think they'll probably give advice that if you've had one of those before, they may think about a different vaccine. But overall, remember that the risk of clots is not increased by this vaccine. It's only this one subset. So I think in general, they'd encourage to take that on. You'd also have to say that what would you do to prepare? So, for instance, some people suggest maybe give aspirin. Yes. But actually, the current evidence would be that actually perhaps taking an aspirin, given the very low risk of this, taking aspirin may be associated with more risk than the vaccine, even though the risk with aspirin is tiny. Mm.
And yet we have countries like Norway in particular here, where they had these small number of cases, who are still taking a longer pause. They're not acting immediately on the EMA advice yesterday. Would you support that abundance of caution approach that's being taken by Norway, and it appears maybe Sweden and Denmark as well?
I'm not sure what, I mean, they've obviously are in a different situation. We're not quite clear why Norway has particularly identified this as particularly become an issue within Norway. I mean, for instance, the UK has used many, many times the amount of this vaccine than Norway have, and probably in a broader range of people, and haven't seen the issue. So we're not quite sure what's going on with that. The other issue, of course, with Norway is they're in a different circumstance in terms of the caseload, although it has to be said that their rate of virus has gone up substantially in the last couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and it's actually now higher than Ireland. Up to date, they've only had about 650 deaths out of a population of about 6 million people. So they've been very careful about this. And we're always cautious when we're giving a vaccine. Remember, when we give a vaccine, we're giving a drug to a healthy person. So there is an abundance of caution there. But I think across the board, and looking at the worldwide experience, the global experience, particularly with our nearest neighbor, I would feel very encouraged about, you know, using this again. If they were to offer it to my family, I'd suggest, yes, certainly, absolutely take it. You know, it's much better to get the vaccine and be safe than risk COVID, which can give you, you know, much more unpleasant side effects.
Professor Joe Harbison, thank you very much indeed. It's 22 minutes past 8.